Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now from the Fort Collins, Colorado, Kevin Lytle, of course, our Rams insider. We haven't talked to Kevin in forever, man. Kevin, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. It's been way too long, Brady.
I know. I hear you on Tanner's show, and a part of me dies every time, because I know you're a weekly guest on NOCO now, and it's fantastic, but I kind of get jealous. It hurts sometimes.
I'm trying to work some different contracts. It's like the NIL stuff now. I'm seeing who's going to start paying the big bucks.
Well, Colfax and I are going to work on that. We're going to work on something, man. Just be ready. We're working on some endorsement deals. Boy, the NIL stuff is wild. We've actually had a chance to talk to a couple of players about even working together on the radio side of things too, putting segments together. It's very interesting. But Kevin, one of the things I'm noticing right off the bat is, seems like the personalities are really popping, right? I mean, I'm hearing from guys way more than I did just on the professional CSU sets up the radio interview. I feel like, you know, we're getting more and more of that. We're learning more about these guys outside of just football and basketball.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting side of it, too, is I think it opens up some avenues to learn and hear more, you know, from some of these athletes about, you know, beyond just their sport and stuff. And I think that's great. I'm hoping that's really going to open a door, because especially in a community like Northern Colorado, people want to get to know, you know, the people they're cheering for. So I'm hoping it's going to be able to open that up a little bit and show off some interests that maybe we didn't know some guys, ladies and gentlemen have, that we didn't know before. So yeah, I think that could be a really positive, I guess, side effect, we can call it.
One of those guys in Ellison Hubbard, he doesn't really need any help opening up. He wants to be in the media. He stepped in for an hour the other day. He was fantastic. But I will say, Kevin, there was a few things from our conversation that I kind of took, and I said, okay, well, these were interesting topics, not controversial, just interesting. First, we talked a little bit about the portal and, you know, obviously some players transferring out. Ellison basically made it sound like, hey, some of these guys maybe just can't take the tough love style of coach that Addazio brings, and Ellison's saying, hey, I love it, and the guys that are sticking around love it.
Yeah, definitely. First off, you're obviously, as you well know, Ellison is one of the most fun kids to talk to.
He's great guy.
Such a great personality. And yeah, he's been all over, obviously, your radio stuff. He's done some TV stuff. He's everywhere. That man is putting in the work. I'm excited to see where he goes. But yeah, that's interesting, and I think it makes a lot of sense, especially, you know, in a way it feels like, you know, Addazio and staff have been around a while, because the COVID year, you know, it was just such a lengthy feeling year. It kind of wore on everyone. But then you remember it's only year two for them and really their first full season. So yeah, you get the transition of completely different coaching styles, you know, from Bobo and staff and Addazio and staff, both in kind of coaching style and obviously X's and O's preferences. Yeah, I think that's always a big part of it, of just what kids respond to. Some like certain styles of coaching, others like different, and that's definitely going to lead to exits and, in turn, entrances from other folks.
I thought it was interesting, too, and again, as you said, we're still all trying to learn more and more about the staff because of the way things were. It was harder to cover Colorado State, and no one would know that more than you, but we're kind of getting back into it here, and Ellison had brought up the fact that, hey, Bobo, great guy, da-da-da, but it was more or less like, all right, I'm in the lab working on my offense, defense, just go out there, man, do something, I'm working on this offense, and again, Ellison's like, it's like night and day, it's completely different, with Addazio, especially, you know, not just offense, defense, but at the line of scrimmage. He is really, really focused on that offensive line and defensive line. And I know it's not sexy, but I'm really curious to see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, those are, you know, the old cliche, games are won in the trenches. And that's where I think it is really interesting. You know, Addazio has a great history with offensive line success and developing those players. But guess who else that can help? Defensive linemen. Because if your head coach knows every technique and every detail that an O lineman will use, well, he's going to teach his D lineman that as well, because then you can use it against the O line. So yeah, I think that's a kind of a unique combo. that you get with a head coach that has that experience. And, yeah, definitely different strategies. You know, Bobo, you know, he kind of admitted late on that he probably hadn't been as engaged in the defense as he should have been and tried to kind of fix that late on. But he no doubt was kind of an offensive coordinator that had the title of head coach and didn't necessarily do so much or as much as he probably needed to with the defense.
Talking to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and that defensive line, you know, I was joking with Ellison. I'm like, I'm not bragging on you guys just because you're sitting here with me and you're bigger than me. I really believe that this defensive line, I mean, they're going to do something big. But Ellison was shocked that the conference isn't really looking at them and you know, putting them up in the rankings. So are you shocked by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the D-line, I think you're right. It's by far the best unit, if you want to say that, for, you know, on the CSU football team. I guess you could argue tight end as well, you know, in large part just because Trey McBride is so good. But yeah, I think the D-line is some high-end talent and some pretty decent depth. So yeah, I think they'll be really good. I think, you know, maybe the conference awareness is down, partially just because the overall outlook on the team as a whole isn't that good. So, you know, it's going to be hard to, you know, get a whole ton of acclaim when people don't think the team as a whole will be good. But I do think that unit's going to be, should be pretty ferocious. And, you know, they play a really attacking style with Chuck Heater. So yeah, I do think that unit's going to be really good. And, you know, if Scott Patchen and Hubbard and Manny Jones kind of do what we think they can, they'll get some attention.
Yeah, Patchen sensational as well. Manny, excited to see what those guys can do. On the offensive side, are we excited about Toddy, about Todd Senteo, or do we look at it and just say, all right, he's a quarterback for now that Adazio kind of likes, but is this guy going to be a big-time playmaker? Or, again, are we looking at the defense saying, hey, defense is going to do great things, offense just don't lose us games?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, as we know, going to be a lot different than the Bobo era where you're going to, you know, maybe throw it 40 to 50 times a game. Todd Senteo is going to be interesting because he obviously got that game one start last year, kind of struggled and didn't play much after that. So he's still a big question mark. Obviously, there were some concerns in you know, how he threw the ball when he was in, but he's also had a lot of time to work on that. Adazio said that there was a little hand injury in there as well. And then I also wouldn't forget Matt Valise, the Boston College transfer, just because you're probably not going to transfer from being a backup at Boston College just to go be a backup at Colorado State. So he probably thinks he's going to be in the mix as well. You know, I'm not trying to start quarterback controversy or anything, but just kind of looking at that logically, you figure he's at least expecting to be able to compete. But, yeah, it's going to be a run-the-ball type of offense and be selective and smart in your kind of big playability, you know, through the air. And obviously they have some guys that can do that with Trey McBride and Dante Wright. But yeah, I mean, expect a lot more running and the big key to me, as much as, you know, quarterback is always a key, the real key is the O-line, because they struggled at times last year, and they, especially in an offense like this, you need to be good up front. You can't be getting beat at the line of scrimmage.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. So, well, you know, I don't think we had a chance to get you on when all this was going down, but, you know, the other guy, you're talking about quarterbacks, right? Luke McAllister, so much excitement surrounding him, but entered that transfer portal. What, I mean, are we still speculating at this point? Did Luke think that he should be already at this stage more of a starter and wants to go somewhere where he can instantly start? I just thought the timing, even though it's transfer portal, it's crazy, it's like the Wild West, but he did it after spring ball.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy that yeah, struggled in some ways. I believe he had some minor injury issues as well, and yeah, just it wasn't going great for him early, but that's to be expected. I think that's the tough thing to swallow is, all freshmen are going to struggle, especially quarterbacks, because you do get ridden harder than probably any other freshman, because quarterback is such a demanding position. So yeah, it's going to be a tough ride for, you know, a young kid coming in. But you know, it's tough because I don't think there was ever any outside expectation that he or any of the other freshmen would start. There was never really any indication to suggest that was even really a possibility, barring something crazy happening. So you kind of thought it was a bide your time situation, but it was very odd. You know, he was so pro CSU through the whole process, and then to be gone so quick. But I think another, just thing to note is that he committed under Bobo. He committed so early that it was a Bobo commitment, and Adazio had stuck with him through signing. So yeah, that's a very interesting one, and a really quick one that definitely, I think surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, and again, just speculating too. You're wondering, okay, was it more Luke? Was it Luke sitting down with this coaching staff? And because we know this is happening too. I think it happened in CU with Sam Neuer. It was more or less, hey, Sam, we like you, man, but just so you know, there's three guys that are pretty good, and we're pretty high on those guys, and it's your last year, so maybe, if transferring it might be best for you at this stage. I wonder if there was that conversation, but again, being so young, the sky's the limit. So maybe you're right, Kevin, more or less on the side of, hey, it was a Bobo thing, wanted to get the feel for it in spring ball, and just it didn't fit.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything to suggest that he was, kind of shown the door or told to leave, which does happen. That's certainly a thing that's part of the transfer portal, but I don't believe it's that situation. But yeah, it was very quick because, we know the Colin Hill coming in and starting as a freshman is a very rare thing to do, and even that took until game six that he got in the starting lineup. Those are rare, especially at school. Like CSU, this isn't Trevor Lawrence coming in. It's a little different when that happens. But it usually takes some time for a freshman to earn that position because it's such a complex position. Pretty much no matter what offense you're in, it takes some time.
Yeah, Kevin, I know we got a lot more to learn about this team, but just based on what you know now, based on spring ball and everything, what are your expectations for this team? Do you think they're going to be competitive in the conference?
I don't see them competing for a Mountain West championship or anything like that. I can still see a pretty wide range of win total, depending on how some things go. But, I think most books have, kind of a 4 to 5 win total projection, and that's kind of where I have it right now as well, just outside, reaching bowl eligibility. But like you said, we have so much to learn because there was so little on the field last year that, there could be surprises, both good and bad, in camp here. So I think that's going to be a big thing. I think right now the preseason projections are always tough. I think this year more than ever because last year was so wonky. So right now I don't see, a Mountain West title contender, but I'm also going to ride the fence a little bit and see and say we got to wait and see a bit.
Yeah, those first four games, those non-conference games, even the South Dakota State game, those are all going to be pretty interesting too. So if they can kind of survive that first four, so to speak, before they get into conference play, it'll be interesting to see what this team could do going forward. Kevin, what are you working on, man? You're getting back to the grind. I know you're gearing up for what should be a great fall. You and I've got some announcements to make as far as a KFKA Coloradoan deal coming up. There's a lot going on, man. I'm pumped.
Yeah, it's exciting and kind of crazy that we're already kind of leaning into the fall, but literally as before you called here, I've been working on kind of planning out some fall coverage stuff. So right now, building for the pretty near future.
Yeah, I love it, man. Kevin, we appreciate you guys, and let's get back to a regular year and watch some Colorado State and get back to the stadium, get back to practice. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, I've been thinking it's going to be fun to roll up to campus on a Saturday afternoon and have people wandering around, having beverages, barbecue and stuff. It's going to be fun to get back to that.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Kevin, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And, well, in this case, Friday night will be that first one in Fort Collins against South Dakota State. Got to be careful there. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. What else we got? We got NBA draft talk. What are the Nuggets going to do in the draft in Colfax? Damian Lillard says he wants out, essentially wants to be traded. I don't know if the Nuggets are on his list, but are you willing to give up something pretty big for Damian Lillard?
Probably.
Yeah?
Probably.
Let's talk about how far you'd be willing to go. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.